Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Today on Sticks In, Tuesday Top 20, we go through the latest Inside Lacrosse media poll, look at who moved where from the weekend, plus I will, as usual, tell you what my ballot looked like, why I voted how I did. If you're listening to this, I'm sure you know by now there is a new number one, as the number one team in the land went down over the weekend. Before we get to that, though, we do touch on the story of Pat Spencer making his NBA debut for the Golden State Warriors, one of the cooler stories going around right now. If you're enjoying the podcast, you want to hear more things like it, please leave a like, subscribe, download, all that good stuff, whatever your platform of choice lets you do. Thank you for coming back. Let's do it. Welcome back to Sticks In. My name is Dan Arestia. Thank you for being here. College lacrosse weekend is all wrapped up from last week, although the new week is already underway. As I'm recording this, Dartmouth currently holds a 5-4 lead over Lehigh. They are doing battle here in the great state of Connecticut. They're playing up at Trinity College in Hartford. If you want to see great college lacrosse, you can just come to Connecticut. Even the teams that aren't from Connecticut play neutral site games here. It's great. Before we get into the college lacrosse, though, from last weekend, let's talk some hoops. Let's talk. Pat Spencer signed a two-way deal with the Warriors this past week and on Monday night made his NBA debut, taking the floor in the closing minutes of the Warriors-Nuggets game that I believe was on ESPN. If you don't know the story, Pat Spencer is one of the best college lacrosse players to ever pick a stick up. 80-plus points as a freshman. He was the Tewaritin winner in 2019. He is the NCAA's all-time assist leader. He is currently, I believe, fourth all-time in points in D1 men's lacrosse history. Pat Spencer was a highlight factory in a way that you don't see too many players, you know, reach a level he did. As I watched him play, to me, when I watched him, it felt like, at the same time, improvisational, but also very calculated. He kind of just flowed around the field, gliding from place to place in a way that it felt like he was inventing this, like, offensive virtuoso play as he went along. But you could also tell with every little move, he knew exactly what he was trying to do, what he wanted to do, and what he was doing. So when it came down to it, there was nothing he couldn't do, really, on the offensive end of the lacrosse field. To watch him run an offense was to wait and see a player do something that you maybe didn't know a player could do. That's what it was like to watch Pat Spencer play attack at Loyola. After his lacrosse career, he took a grad year, as many do now, but not to play lacrosse, to play basketball at Northwestern. Started for them, averaged a little over 10 points a game, about 4-4 for boards and assists a game. And after that, he's taken first overall in the PLL draft. We all remember that. He opted instead to continue to pursue basketball. Played for the Hamburg Towers in Germany for a year. And then the Capital City Go-Go, a sweet jersey if you have never seen them. I have one hanging in my closet because I couldn't help myself. And then the Wizards G League affiliate in Santa Cruz for a year before signing an Exhibit 10 deal with the Warriors, joined them for training camp. made some highlight plays during that training camp. I know I was watching basically, I've never watched so much preseason NBA before, but a lot of lacrosse fans were just glued to it to see what would happen with Pat. He got praise on broadcast from guys like Steph Curry. Their coach, Steve Kerr, an all-time great coach, has a couple of rings himself, talked about how much they like Pat Spencer's game and that he just basically just needs to play more basketball. Like, that's it. So I think that's a testament to just how skilled he is, how athletic Pat Spencer is, and obviously what he's, you know, what he's done so far. He ended up in Santa Cruz after that preseason with the Warriors, their G League team. Again, for I've never watched so much G League basketball in my life, but he missed most of last season with a wrist injury. There were lacrosse fans who were like, I haven't seen Pat Spencer in the box score in a while. Is he going to come back and play lacrosse? And it was like, no. I even asked the Warriors about it. They say he's committed to getting back on the floor here. So clearly he did. This year with Santa Cruz, he was averaging about 14, 6, and 5 points, boards, and assists when he got that deal. And then that takes you right up into last night. And it was, I mean, again, I spoke to Pat Spencer, I think, once after a game for like post-game interviews. But it was still surreal to me watching the Warriors game, seeing team huddles, pregame lines, and just there's Pat Spencer with Klay Thompson. There's Pat Spencer with, you know, Draymond, with Steph Curry. He's on the bench there for the big plays. It was something incredible. He did get a few minutes in the closing moments of the game, like I said. But look, don't you dare let anyone do the it was mop-up time kind of minutes crap. Don't let anybody do that. There are players and athletes who dedicate their lives to basketball, play it every day, and never get a whiff of the league, never get close to the NBA. I don't think it's crazy to suggest that the NBA is the toughest league to crack in pro sports. 12 guys a roster, and you got to be some special kind of player to do it. There's not that many teams. Particularly when you're talking about the Golden State Warriors cracking that team as a guard. But Pat Spencer spent 4 years tearing up the lacrosse world and then went back to basketball and made the NBA. Was on an NBA floor in a regular season game against the Denver Nuggets. Truly a special moment. I really couldn't believe it. I'll keep watching Warriors games for as many as I can because I want Pat to succeed. I want him to stick. If he winds up back at Santa Cruz, I'll go back to watching those because, again, I'm fascinated by the dream he's chosen to chase because of how difficult the NBA is to make. As of this moment, he's very much a pro basketball player. He's been excellent in the G League. He has taken the floor in an NBA regular season game. He had an assist opportunity, but the ball didn't go down. I think you just got to salute that. And as long as it's going, I'm going to keep cheering for him to stick with that Warriors team or get a shot in the NBA somewhere because he's right there. Back to lacrosse, back to the college world. The number one team in the land, as we said in the open, went down this weekend. A Georgetown team led by Kevin Warren, who was in a gorgeous jacket and Jordan combo. This had to have something to do with the victory. It just must have. But they beat Notre Dame 11-10. Kind of throws the poll a bit into chaos because it seems, you know, there's certain questions where the obvious answer is right in front of you. But the hard questions whenever this happens is, what do you do with the team that was number one? How far down do they go? You know, do you drop them to like two? Do you drop them out of the top 10? Because Georgetown was on the edge of the poll. And then how far up do you put the team that beats number one? How far up do they go? Do they just become number one? They beat the number one team in the country. It's not maybe that crazy. Anyway, before we start getting into that questions, we'll talk through those kind of as we go. Let's just get into the poll itself. As usual, I'm going to kind of read you my ballot, and then I'll tell you the difference between what I voted and how the team that we're talking about came into the final poll. So at number one, I put UVA. I put Virginia. Virginia beat Ohio State pretty handily this week. I have them in the top spot. Notre Dame losing, you know, I kind of expected UVA and Duke to get the entirety of the number one votes. UVA to me has no weak spot right now. I think the slate of opponents that they've played has been better than Duke's. I think they've played tougher schedule to this point, and they have come through unscathed. I think they spent this last month showing everybody that the one place you want to nitpick us, the one place you want to point to at UVA and say, maybe you can get them there, the face-off spot, they actually made that a strength against the Buckeyes. Gobrio went 6 of 8. They also used D'Souza. They used Colucci. Tommy Burke for Ohio State went 50%. And so UVA can say, with our face-off group, we can force the best in the country to go 50%. And that's enough for us to win. So I have UVA in the one spot. In the actual poll, they came in at 2. They got 6 first-place votes. I am one of them. At number 2, I have Duke. Obviously, that's the other. That's the team that came in at number 1 in the poll. I think Duke can be described the same way as UVA, really. You can't look up and down their scout, up and down how they play on the field, and say, there's where we should attack. There's where we should go after Duke, and we'll have a chance. You just got to have the talent and have the roster to stack up with the heavyweight fight there and just go slug for slug with them. Duke got 9 first-place votes in the poll. Again, UVA got 6, so Duke gets the top spot. Duke plays an Ivy doubleheader this weekend with Penn and Princeton. I think those are, you know, it's not crazy to say those are their two best opponents of the year so far. If they go 2-1, I'll put them at number 1. If they go 2-0, I should say, I'll put them at number 1. Even if UVA doesn't lose. See it, Dukies. Number 3, I have Maryland. The Terps did get a number 1 vote, but the Terps come in, they only got 1, so who knows who it was, but they only got 1 number 1 vote. They come in at number 3 for me. The final poll also has them at 3, so I match the poll here. The Terps just have Ajax deleting people every week, and that's got to be such a good feeling to be on that sideline. Just know you can just put a guy on the field who's going to erase somebody. I think the offense, I think, might still even be, it's better every week, but I think still kind of figuring it out. I think obviously the talent at Maryland's going to be exceptional. I think Braden Irksa is really freaking good, man. His name hasn't come up enough, maybe among in that, you know, best attackman in the country kind of conversation. Did not get a lot of preseason love or anything, despite having the year he had last year. But look, he's a kid who had to take the reins of an offense coming off a historically great year at Maryland, a historically great program that is Maryland, as a freshman. And he has looked ready for it the entire time, facing number 1 defenders in the Big Ten, saying, I'll take the spotlight. And he's performed. I think Braden Irksa has been really good. So I got Maryland at 3. At 4, I have Denver. This matches. Denver is also 4 in the poll. That's a big win for them over Cornell. The Pios now hold wins over Hopkins, Cornell, and Air Force. Air Force win, I know it doesn't sound great, but you know, Air Force has been frisky the last couple weeks, so maybe that's getting better. They get Lemoyne this weekend. They should win there. I love you, Lemoyne, but I'm not going to be picking you against Denver. I don't even know what that line is yet, but Pios come in at 4 in the final poll. I have them at 4, and I think there were some doubters out there about Denver, and I'm not ashamed to say I might have been among them, where I was like, are they for real? Are they really that good? That Air Force game was kind of scary if you're an impartial party trying to gauge Denver, but I think now with the Hop win, the Cornell win, it's very fair to say that Denver is for real. So Denver's at 4 for me. At number 5, here's where I did it. Hoyas. I moved them up that far. You beat number 1 in the country. Like, I don't know. You're only going to not bump somebody up a couple of spots if they beat the defending champion number 1 team in America. And again, this is the interesting question, because you've got a case to just be number 1. You beat number 1. It's fair to say we should be number 1. We beat the king. But they were in the high teens, past all the rest of these teams. It feels like a really big jump. So kind of where do you land? As with any question when it comes to polling, every voter is going to answer that differently. And so that's, for me, it came down to where am I going to put Notre Dame? How far am I going to drop Notre Dame? And when I get comfortable with where I'm going to put Notre Dame, I'm putting the Hoyas one spot ahead of them because they just beat them. So that's how I did it. So I have Georgetown at 5. I am way up from where they actually finished in the poll, where they came in at 11. Kevin Warren's going to be disrespected by only being 11 after he beat number 1. But that's where the Hoyas are. I have them at 5. I'm not afraid to say it out loud. Number 6, Notre Dame, as you could tell from the way I just described Georgetown, they dropped down to 6. UVA and Duke were easy to just move up a spot for me. Maryland, same kind of thing. Denver goes past Cornell in mine for with their win. And then I started to feel like, all right, 5-ish, this feels like the right spot to drop Notre Dame in. So I put the team that beat them in that spot, Georgetown, and put Notre Dame one spot later. Whether or not my thinking makes any sense or I'm just a mad scientist, who knows? But either way, I ended up matching exactly where Notre Dame ended up in the actual poll. In the final poll, Notre Dame is 6. I have them 6. So my thinking works, I guess. I matched the voters. Number 7, I have Army. Army waxed Mercer this week, 15-7. So there's not really a ton of ranking implication there. They're basically sitting tight. They move up to 5 in the poll thanks to, I think, some of the results around them, basically, and the shuffling of teams around them. So the IL poll has them at 5. I have them just a bit lower. I didn't kind of – you'll see in a second. Basically, the fact that I put Georgetown at 5 has me about one off on a bunch of teams in a row in where the actual poll came. So myself and the other voters differed a little bit on Georgetown, and as a result, my whole thing got pushed out a little bit. Number 8, I have Syracuse. I really didn't do a ton with them, honestly, in the rankings this week. They have the OT loss to Maryland in a game that they basically had won. They hit a game winner and it got waved off. Followed by, obviously, they beat down Utah midweek. So they're just short. They kind of hold the edge of the top 10 here for me. They got the midweek game coming with Army. I love that game every year. I don't know what it is about it, but I love those Q's Army games that are all, they're always on like a Wednesday night, or it feels like they're always on like a Wednesday night. You know, you turn them on. Sometimes you get Ryan Powell in the booth for those, and it's great. I love those Army Q's games, so I can't wait for that one. Q's comes in the final poll at 7. Again, I have them at 8. My Georgetown ranking just pushed them one spot down from where they actually came in. Number 9, I got Hopkins. They beat UNC this week, 13-9. Georgetown, again, beating Notre Dame, I think makes things interesting here because the rest of the way we're going to kind of have to handle the, well, Loyola beat Georgetown thing, but this UNC game, I think, was the script a little bit. Erland was up near 60%. They were able to stay pretty even facing off. They might have even been right at 50-50. Scott Smith in the defense limited, I think really limited the big weapons of UNC. You didn't get much out of McGovern in this game. And Hopkins got goals from 7 different players. 5 different guys had more than a goal. So Hop's roster, I think, is built to put that box score together, like that exact thing, and win a game. So the execution there, I think, is on point for Hopkins. They came in at 8 in the poll. I have 9. Again, thanks to my Georgetown ranking, everybody's off by 1. Number 10, I have Cornell. The Big Red dropped a bit with that loss to Denver. Willem Firth, 4 goals. The kid is going to be so special. I know Kirsten Long run the show there, but it won't be long before Firth becomes the name you got to stop. I think you would still call Cornell the Ivy favorite right now, but it's a really good bunch at the top. The Big Red, Yale, Princeton, Penn, Harvard, all look like they could play a good enough game to win that conference on any given day, to me. So you guessed it. Once again, I am one off the final poll. At number 11, I have Yale. They smacked Colgate midweek, then they didn't play over the weekend, so the Elis are just kind of in a holding pattern at this part of the poll where they've been basically the whole year. I think they drop a spot from where I had them last week again. That's only because of the shuffling of teams around them. They came in at 10 in the final poll this week. At number 12, I had Penn State. I think it's a good win over Navy. I know Navy has not looked good the last 2 weeks, but I still consider Navy to be a decent team. They beat Navy 13-3, and I think that's a good showing from a Penn State defense, considering Jack Posey didn't play in this game. He was in sweats, so there's no timetable apparently for him coming back. So playing without your top defender and holding Navy to 3 goals, I think that's, you know, that's pretty good. But we'll see how they kind of play that out over the next few weeks, because again, you're being without your top defender is not necessarily something that most teams can sustain for a very long time. This matches the final poll. Penn State was 12 in my ballot, and they were 12 in the IL final poll. 13, I have Michigan. Michigan beat Marquette. I've said it the last, I think, couple weeks now about Michigan, but they're kind of in the stretch of opponents that, you know, given their personnel and the team they have back from last year and everything, all that stuff. It's a stretch of opponents that you would expect them to handle, and they have. So they're kind of holding here in the pole for me, taking care of business. TCB. They have a midweek game with Jacksonville and then Delaware over the weekend. I think those are two, you know, decent opponents, solid teams, but games where I think you'll probably expect to see Michigan favored. Wolverine's next big test is really probably Notre Dame, which is still a few weeks out. So this matched the final poll. I have them 13. Poll has them 13. 14, I have Rutgers. They smacked Loyola this week in a kind of a Rutgers got their groove back kind of game. Three players with hat tricks, 4 points for Ross Scott. I think you saw some of the defensive lapses for Loyola hurt them in this game. Loyola could also just couldn't win a faceoff early in this one, and that makes a difference given the matchup advantages that Rutgers had with their offense. Rutgers went with a redshirt freshman in goal, Carden Stoller, who in this game, I think he made 15 saves, and that's a great performance because they, you know, they have a portal goalie from D3 and Seamus Fagan, who was a goalie of the year at D3 at Hamilton. You know, they have a room where you thought it was going to be somebody with some experience, but redshirt freshman in net, so big performance there. The Scarlet Knights come in at 16, so I rated this win better than some others. I imagine, I guess, you know, again, Loyola is kind of a tough team to deduce what a win for them against them is worth right now. Solid effort for North Carolina, who I have at 15. Solid effort against Hopkins. Logan McGovern bottled up. UNC, I think, got really hurt in transition. That was kind of part of the game story, I think. I've taken a bit of a shine to the heels. I will say that. I have enjoyed watching Petromala at attack. I think this year is kind of all gravy for them. They got all these young guys. They're getting experience against the ACC, against tough opponents. I think they're built for success down the road. I think you get the Ivy double dip for them this weekend. They get Penn and Princeton. Princeton in particular is going to be a lot of fun. A lot of kids for Princeton that are exciting, freshmen and younger, or sophomores and freshmen. A lot of freshmen who are exciting for Carolina, so that's going to be a good one. So I have Carolina here at 15. They came into the final poll at 18, so I think other voters dinged them harder for the Hop loss than I did, but that's where I have Carolina. At 16, I have Princeton. The Tigers fell to Maryland, so I knocked them back a little bit. We already kind of talked about Ajax limited, Mackesy, I think, which is really the formula and will be the formula against Princeton all year. Make the kids beat you, basically. And I don't think maybe that formula will work the entire season because the kids sooner or later will oblige you and they will beat you. Kabiri is excellent. Palumbo, I think, is really good. The defense can keep them in games because John Ficarro has been so good. He made 20 saves against Maryland. The Tigers have UNC next, as we just said. I think that's going to be a really good game. I think that's there's several future NCAA stars in that game. So Tigers came in the final poll at 15. I have them here at 16. At 17, Penn re-entering the poll after their nail-biter of a win against Delaware, where I think Mike Robinson hit the post at the buzzer. Quakers are a team I expect to get better on offense as the year goes on. But I also don't really know what I think Penn's ceiling is for this year. Like, could they catch fire in the Ivy tournament? Sure, I guess so. I haven't loved their offense a whole ton from what we've seen so far. They play, as always, a great schedule. They'll have a ton of opportunities. Their RPI will be awesome. You know, Emmett Carroll's going to keep them in games. He's made 33 saves in 2 games this week. He's so critical for them. But so Quakers in at 17. This match is where they came in the poll. So I have them 17 and hit the poll on. 18, I have Delaware. Hens dropped that close one. So they fall down here basically behind Penn. I still consider Delaware to be a solid team. The attack is great. Mike Robinson has been super fun to watch. Every minute I watch him, I'm more certain he's going to get drafted in the PLL draft. These are the games Delaware needs to win, though. These games like Penn, just for the RPI sake. They're going to be a heavy favorite in the CAA. They probably need to win the conference. And at large for a CAA team feels really hard to see, but they have opponents on the schedule to make a case. They got Michigan next. So Delaware kind of might, you know, you want to see them with that big non-con win, I think, coming at some point here. Michigan is an interesting one. Delaware came in the final poll at 19, so I have them one spot higher. At 19, I have Richmond. I'm keeping Richmond in here. Look, I say it every week. It's hard. I feel weird ranking Richmond as like this every week because I feel like I'm doing it based on the strength of their performances and losses, which is, again, this is just the way I think about it, is not always something I like to do. Like, win the games and you get ranked. But if you don't win the games, then you didn't, like, I don't like to reward losing close. But look, if you put Richmond on the field today against teams that I ranked after them or left out, I would pick Richmond. So I'm still going to put them here at 19. The schedule's a little bit, not a ton of heavyweights on it until they take on Duke on March 16th. That'll be a good one. Richmond came in the final poll at 14. I mean, their wins right now are Robert Morris that they beat by 16 goals and St. John's that they beat by 16 goals. And then they have a close loss. They have the double OT loss to Maryland and a 4-goal loss to UVA. So again, I feel like I'm ranking them based on strength of loss, but I don't always love to do that. But I believe in their talent. I believe they're a good team. But you know, sooner or later, you got to win some of these games. I swear, I am really going to drop you and put somebody in ahead of you. At number 20, I have Ohio State. Lost to UVA. I think it's fair to drop them. I literally just made a case to do exactly that. Ultimately, though, they are still a 4-1 team. Their only loss is to a team that I now have at number one. Their wins are okay. The Air Force win is maybe getting better because they play Denver so close. Again, I know as I literally am making, I just finished making a case against the case I'm making for Ohio State, but they get a big test against Cornell next week. I would love to see their offense find another gear. The goal totals have been kind of low. Some of that's always going to be the early season transfer portal guys stuff, but you do want to see them cook a little more. Ohio State didn't get ranked in the top 20 this week. Harvard got this spot instead, and I did go back and forth between Harvard and Ohio State for exactly this spot. So, yeah, you know, I if you want to tell me I'm insane and I'm a hypocrite, you're probably right. I think Harvard very fairly could be number 20. Teams that I also considered, NJIT. Got to do it. They're undefeated. I'm the worst. Like, I should have ranked this team. I will save time to watch them every week. They play Wagner this week. They're going to be a favorite. They should win that game. They should stay undefeated. Nobody has been more fun. I apologize, NJIT. I just couldn't find the room this week. But if you got a zero in the loss column next week, I'm ranking NJIT. Undefeated this late in the season, you have to. Harvard beat Bryant with some excellent late game play. They did the same kind of thing against Bucknell, where they came back from a 7-goal deficit to win that game. They're a poised team. And they're missing some key guys. Campisi didn't play against Bucknell. They're missing some offensive weapons. But they're finding a way. I think Sam King has had a hell of a year so far. I think he gets a lot of credit for this. Bryant taking that serious kind of downturn with the loss to Quinnipiac isn't helping Harvard's top 20 case, in my opinion. But I think they're at worst a team that's like number 21, 22, that neighborhood for Harvard. I still considered BU. Same sort of story as Harvard. Their Bryant loss is getting to be a worse loss now that Bryant lost to Quinnipiac. The Terriers are good. Like Harvard, I see them in that like 21, 22, 23 tier right now. But you know, you need to get some wins against notable teams to push yourself back in. Colgate got squeezed out for me with Penn entering and some other shuffling. They've lost two straight. It's gonna take some winning against some good teams for me to put Colgate back in or me to even consider them again now. It's been a long time since you beat Penn State, guys. You can't trade on that forever. So I thought about Colgate, but ultimately I would put Ohio State, Harvard, BU all in ahead of them. And of course, the last team I got considered, Villanova. If I'm considering Colgate, I have to consider Villanova. Villanova just beat Colgate. So it was their first win. They started the year with losses to Penn State and Yale. Villanova plays Lehigh this weekend. I have said I'm not super high on them this year. If they notch some really good non-con wins, they'll be in the top 20. And then it'll be really fun to watch them come Big East tournament time. They're a team that feels like will be under the radar until they spoil somebody's season. It's one of those kind of things. Some teams that got votes, but I didn't necessarily consider. Towson. Towson deserves consideration for sure. I wasn't totally sure what to do with them yet. They've got the win over St. Joe's, which is good. They beat the blew the doors off Navy. They are a legit team. I think ranking them makes plenty of sense. I think they've got a midweek game against Loyola this week, and that should be a good one. Whatever the result is, it is going to be meaningful for both sides in a big way. So, you know, I didn't really think about Towson because I don't know if I consider them to be better than Harvard, Ohio State, BU yet, but they're close. They're knocking on the door. The Tigers are putting some impressive stuff on tape. High Point got votes. I didn't think about High Point at all for the top 20. I'm not sure what on their resume makes them a top 20 team right now. They have wins over Mercer, VMI, Queens, and Cleveland State. Does that put you in the top 20? I don't know. Beat Q's this weekend and we'll talk. High Point. UMass got votes. I didn't really think about UMass. They smacked Merrimack around pretty good this weekend. They're 3-1. Their best result probably is their one goal loss to Army, who's now a top five team in the poll. They're a fringe team. I can see the consideration based on how they ranked or how they played against the Black Knights. I have not come close, I don't think, to ranking them yet. And last is Loyola. They got votes. I didn't consider ranking them. It's an interesting question with what to do with them the rest of the way, because they are 1-3, right? And those three losses aren't really all that close. Those three losses are, however, Hopkins, Maryland, and Rutgers, all ranked, and their one win is an 18-10 beatdown of Georgetown, who just knocked off Notre Dame. So I don't know how you do the algebra to put all that together. You got a beautiful mind that to figure out if Loyola is good or not, but I can't bring myself to rank a 1-3 team that has lost by a solid margin in each of the last 3 weeks, but I see the debate because they've got a Georgetown win. So that is the Tuesday top 20. Quick hitter for you this week, talking through the poll, talking some Pat Spencer. Enjoy the midweek contest. Like I said, we get Q's Army midweek. That's such a good one. If you're into the picks and all that, the spreadsheet will be up to date with all the latest results and spreads and all that good stuff for your game wagering pleasure. Otherwise, I thank you for coming back and doing the poll with me, and we will see you next time.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Are you struggling to lower your bad LDL cholesterol, even though you may be taking a statin, swapping steaks for salads, and exercising while listening to this podcast? Ask your doctor if Repatha Evolocumab is right for you. With Repatha, you can dramatically reduce bad cholesterol and the risk of another heart attack while enjoying life too, because you're human. And with convenient self-administration, you can take Repatha in the comfort of your own home. Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Repatha can cause serious allergic reactions. Signs include trouble breathing or swallowing, or swelling of the face. Most common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site. Visit Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA. Talk to your doctor today about Repatha.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.